This is Pocket Presents, powered by Sleeper.
Pocket Presents gang, welcome back to another episode. We are cooking right now. We got a lot of things rolling. We got a lot of film breakdowns going out. We got a lot of predictions, a lot of good predictions as of late. Maybe the first 2 weeks weren't so hot, but we're hot now. We're really hot now, Tyler, and we're rolling. And it's been a weird week, Tyler. I got a hurricane coming in like a couple hours, and we're still rolling with Pocket Presents. Let's go.
Yeah, we were just looking at the live wave cam, and you were describing to me how there seems to be a time before a hurricane where the surfing is good, and then I can imagine very quickly the surfing gets a little dangerous.
Yeah, man. I use this app that tells me all the swell information, this and that, wave size, the direction of the wind speed, which influences how the waves curl. We got a good 6 or 7 hour stretch coming up that I don't know if I have it in me to go out in, but I'm going to definitely drive down and look and think about it. But after that, it gets pretty crazy and we're expected to have 10 to 15 foot waves. So it's going to be a wild 24 to 48 hours, but football.
Football to take your mind off football. It. Let's get into the games this week. We have 6 games of the week we'll be talking about, starting with a little NFC South matchup. I like how this division got fun when before the year we thought maybe it would just be Atlanta running away with it, but now we have New Orleans at the Falcons. The Falcons favored by 2.5 points. And it seems like the Falcons defense needs to shape up against the Saints offense that has been pretty high powered the first 2 weeks, at least.
Yeah, the Saints offense looks really good. They're running a lot of things that I would say is going to be spread around the league a little bit more. And they kind of got derailed a little bit last week by the Eagles. So the Eagles gave a little blueprint on how to slow them down. But you look at what these two teams have done up to this point in time. The Falcons are 1-2. They could have easily been 0-3. The Saints are 2-1, and they kind of rolled to 2-1. I know the Falcons are favored in this. I'm a little bit nervous, but Kamara is questionable. He might not be playing. It looks like it's going to be a true 50-50 chance. And Kirk Cousins has gotten a little bit better each week, like slightly. But I need to see more out of Kirk Cousins to hop on the train. I'm a little bit nervous about how this Falcons offense matches up against the Saints defense, who is really good. I think the only way that the Saints defense really gives up anything is if the guy's mobile at quarterback. I don't know. I don't love this matchup for the Falcons. I think that the Saints have the edge here, but Falcons are wearing their cool last uniforms this week. So who knows? But as of now, man, we've got a weird one. This is going to be a true NFC South. Who knows what happens until it happens. I will say Falcons defense is balling right now too. So I expect this to be a defensive matchup, a defensive masterclass by both sides. I'm excited to watch this game, to be honest. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I think there are a few things on each side that matter.
I'm curious, watching the Saints last week, the offense did not look as potent as it did the first 2 weeks. Was there anything the Eagles did differently to stop an offense that was rolling?
I just don't think that they really ever got to establish the run how they'd like to. And that team really eats off of the play action. If you look at Alvin Kamara, the first 2 weeks, 5.5 yards per carry, 5.75 yards per carry. This past week, he had 3.3 yards per carry. And again, that's not terrible, but on 26 attempts, they ran the ball more than ever, and they had 87 yards, where the week prior, they ran it less, had more yards. You know, like it's not necessarily a good look. I'd imagine that the Falcons' goal this week is to get them into second and long, stop the run on first down, get them into situations that they can't just get in second and four, second and three, second and five, and do a deep play action, because that's where Shaheed came alive. Olave came alive. If you can stop the run against the Saints offense, I think you have a chance.
You expressed some concern about Kirk Cousins and his immobility. What do you need to see from him this week to regain some confidence in the Falcons offense as a whole?
I need to see him move around a little bit. I'm not asking him to scramble. I want him to be able to extend plays outside of the framework of the offense. Meaning, if somebody's not there, I don't want to see him just ditching the ball. I really, like, there are so many big plays that happen in the NFL as a result of scramble drill that the Falcons just are not taking advantage of because he's not moving. So if the Falcons want to take their offense to the next level, elevate their team to the next level, they've got to find big plays off script, because I don't care who you are. NFL offensive coordinators cannot just script big plays all game long. Quarterbacks have to go make plays. They have to go be outside of the framework of the offense and be a baller. And I need to see that out of Kirk Cousins, which I don't know if he has that in the bag.
All right. We have Denver at the Jets. The Jets are favored by 7.5 points. Seems like a big number. Little Nathaniel Hackett revenge game here.
We do have a little Hackett revenge game, and I'm excited about this one. I do have the Jets to win this game by more than a touchdown. I think that the Broncos kind of had a weird game last week. I don't think that was necessarily who they're going to be. I think they kind of they found the Bucs on a sleeping weekend, and the Bucs didn't play great. They turned the ball over a few times, and Bo Nix played solid football last week. Like, he, passing wise, he went 25 of 36, 200 yards, no turnovers. And that was a big one. He didn't turn over the ball. Now, is he going to throw the ball 36 times against this Jets defense with that D-line? We saw what happened to Jacoby Brissett. Is he not going to turn the ball over? Is he going to be able to run for 50 yards and a touchdown against this Jets defense? This defense is a little bit different. We saw last week, it was an absolute bludgeoning in that game against the Patriots, and they didn't have any answers. And from what I've seen out of Sean Payton this year, kind of like last year, doesn't have a whole lot of answers. I think this is going to be a really one-sided matchup. Aaron Rodgers is playing again, some of the best football of his life. 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. That's on pace for an Aaron Rodgers year. You know, like, that's just kind of how it goes with him. And Breece Hall's picking up speed, and Garrett Wilson has had a slow start of the year, and he's still not playing bad. I expect Garrett Wilson every week to get a little bit better. And watch out in the slot this week. Alan Lazard, also Mike Williams. Patrick Surtain's on that other side. He's probably going to be matching up with Garrett Wilson a little bit. Might have a time for these slot guys to eat. So that's what I'm looking out for in this game.
I want to put a pin in that Garrett Wilson comment. We'll have a fantasy question about that later on. But first, let's talk Philly-Tampa, yep. A little wild card rematch from last week. It's in Tampa, but Philly's favored by 2.5.
Yep.
And producer Roddy, Eagles fans, I think they're feeling a little uneasy. This team seems like you do not know what you're getting week in and week out.
Yeah. This Eagles team, to me, kind of looks like a house of cards right now, mainly because of their injuries. I mean, it's week four, and they're already missing guys for a while. Like, A.J. Brown will now have been out for 2 weeks. This might be his third week out. Devonta Smith got knocked out cold, and I doubt that they're going to have him play this week. They shouldn't. Concussion, give him a week. Who's Jalen Hurts going to throw to? His newfound receiver, Covey, out on IR. Like, I truly don't know. Is it Dotson? Is it Campbell? They're going to have to run the ball with Saquon and Jalen Hurts 40 times this game if they want a chance. And I don't think that the Eagles' defense is necessarily fit to keep up with keep up with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and those guys on a bounce back game for the Bucs. So give me the Bucs this week. I liked the Eagles if they had all their weapons. I don't like them without their weapons, and I think it's going to be a long week for them. I think Baker Mayfield and company bounce back. Also, Bucky Irving. Let's talk about him. Fantasy. Bucky Irving has been balling out. He was a preseason darling for us. We talked about him a little bit. I liked his skill set coming out. Rashad White, still young, still has his case in the offense, but offense looks pretty explosive when Bucky Irving gets his burn. So I don't know. I like this matchup. I like the Bucs. I like their talent. I think last week was a fluke, and I don't think that Jalen Hurts can just throw for 200 yards to Dallas Goedert this week. Like, I do think Dallas Goedert's a hell of a play this week in fantasy, but he had like 60 or 70 yards on that last play that they got him in a field goal range. Dallas Goedert, wide receiver 1, I guess, this week.
Yeah, if this starts to get a little shaky for Philadelphia, where do you start to place the blame? Because you know there's going to be a blame game. So who is it fair for? Who is it unfair for?
I think it's unfair for Jalen Hurts. He doesn't have much weapons, but there's other quarterbacks around the league that don't have weapons. I want to see him take care of the football. If there's no plays to be made, there's no plays to be made. It is what it is. Take care of the football. Do your job. You can't be a superhero. This season, in my opinion, is Sirianni's last chance. And he's had a loaded roster for a while. Last year, blundered it away. He is the only person that has not seen that revolving door been opened and closed on him. I'm not a Sirianni fan, man. Dude, I'm like, I don't even know what he does for that team. I truly don't. I have no idea what value add he brings that organization, besides the fact that he looks like he's from Philly. That's it. Like, that's all I know.
Yeah. Have you been around coaches like that? We talked about it a lot in the offseason, this idea of a CEO head coach that's not responsible for the offense, not responsible for the defense. Yeah. I think it's a bad idea because, as we've seen in Sirianni's case, your good coordinators can always get poached, and then you're left with the year like last year where he doesn't have good coordinators, and that becomes an indictment on him more than it does on the actual coordinator. So what is a coach like that supposed to be doing, and why is it not working? Because it does work in other cases. I mean, it might not be my favorite, dude, but Dan Campbell's a good coach.
Yeah, like, a coach like that is supposed to do one job: manage the team, manage the game. I guess that's two jobs. Is Sirianni doing either of those well? Or even like, is he even doing them? I don't think so. Like, we've never said Sirianni and good decision-making in the same sentence, unless we're talking about how he doesn't have good decision-making. So if you can't bring that one thing to the table that you're supposed to be bringing, fuck, dude, I could probably go right now and make good decisions on game day. You know what I mean? Like, I play enough Madden. It's like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he brings to the table. I don't know the work that he does. I don't know any game plan, any prep or anything. And it's like, well, whatever he is doing isn't showing up. So I don't know, man. I'm not a fan of hype boys as head coaches. And Dan Campbell is not a hype boy. Like, Dan Campbell manages the games, makes decisions. Like, he, you know what I mean? He's not just a hype boy. Like, Sirianni kind of feels like just like he's along for the ride. Whatever happens, happens. So I don't know. I don't think I'm being that harsh. Like, it's been a long time of the same shit. And it all, like, if your only job is to make good decisions in situational football, holy shit, should you just make good decisions in situational football? That's it. So the fact that he's not doing that over and over again just really blows my mind.
Well, you can always be rest assured that when you're talking about the Eagles, the harshest thing you have to say has probably been said in 10 times that when it comes to Eagles fans. So
that's so true by their own fans. So yeah, there's that.
I think you're doing all right. All right. Cincinnati at Carolina, a game that suddenly became interesting. Cincinnati's favored by 4 in Carolina. We now have an Andy Dalton revenge game, and we have the Bengals teetering on this precipice of 0-4. They're pushing the envelope of what it means to start slow year after year.
Dude, I don't see a way that the Bengals don't go 1-3 here. Like, I don't know how the Bengals could start 0-4, but I also know the Panthers last week looked better than the Bengals have at any point in time this entire season across the board. Defense, offense, decision-making, ball security, red zone efficiency, running the ball. Like, the Bengals team has not looked like that at all this season. Even last week, like, they had a few big plays, but they really just hit some one-on-ones that the Commanders gave them an opportunity to hit. I think this is another trap game that could look. All I'm going to say is Joe Burrow played pretty well last week, right? Like, he had, let's see, 29 of 38, 324, 3 touchdowns. Statistically, he played really well. He got sacked a few times. Like, I know they scored on all their drives, but I'm just like, is he going to be enough for what feels like a bad Bengals team? Like, is he going to be able to do that every single week? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Like, that defense looked like shit. Panthers offense looked good with Andy Dalton. I don't know, man. This game's weird to me. The Bengals are weird to me. I mean, their season's probably already over. I don't know, man. Ja'Marr Chase going to probably need to get paid. Just weird.
Yeah, the vibes do feel a little strange. It seems like you hear that winning cures all. I can only imagine that losing then amplifies any problem you have by a million. And there's so much uncertainty coming into the season with T. Higgins, with Ja'Marr Chase. Starting 0-4 simply cannot help that tension that's already there.
No, dude, it's not a good look, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. What did you like last week about Andy Dalton? And we don't have to spend a lot of time on the Panthers here, but it was notable the difference between a 37-year-old Andy Dalton and Bryce Young. What did Dalton do differently to provide at least a bit of a spark for that Panthers offense?
Dalton did his job. Like, I know people were trying to, like, coddle and console Bryce Young or whatever for whatever fucking reason. He did not play good football while he was in there. His team didn't look great around him, but he did not do his job. He didn't take the right footwork. He didn't make the right reads. Like, there were people open all game long when Bryce Young was playing. I don't care, like, how many sacks. It doesn't matter. People could hit in the NFL. He didn't hit the open receiver in time, in rhythm, as if he was playing 7-on-7. Andy Dalton went through his drop, went through his reads, 3 and a hitch, balls out. 5 and a hitch, balls out. 5 and 2 hitches, hits the backside read. Like, he played quarterback. Bryce Young literally dropped back with his eyes closed most of the time from what it looked like on film. And I think Andy Dalton is a great example of, if you just do what the coaches in a good system ask you to do, you're going to find some sort of success. You're not going to look like shit. Like, just play within the system. That's all Andy Dalton did. And he made a few big plays on third down to move the chains and hit a few deep throws. Like, those things came to you. But he played NFL football, not college football. And that's the difference. Like, if you want to look at some of these guys coming out and why they don't have success, some of them are playing the college game and some of them are playing the NFL game. And Andy Dalton played like an NFL quarterback with Bryce Young all the last 2 years. And again, a lot of scar tissue built up there. A lot of incompetency that he's dealt with last year. But this year is a new coach and their scheme is not that bad. And they got good receivers. Like, they don't have great receivers, but they're good. Like, Deontay Johnson's a good receiver. I hope that Andy Dalton, for some of these young quarterbacks, can be what they look at and be like, how did he go in and operate? What did he do? Because at the end of the day in the NFL, if you don't turn the ball over, if you just go through your reads and check it down, if you avoid negative plays, like, your defense is probably going to make some plays too. Like, if you win the turnover battle in the NFL, you win 80% of the games. Let's just try to take care of the football. Let's try to avoid negative plays. That's like the theme, the recurring theme, in my opinion, on why these vet quarterbacks go in and play well and their teams win. They're playing NFL football.
Can you explain that difference for me? College football versus NFL football. Like, what is Bryce Young doing differently or expecting differently that doesn't translate to the NFL level?
Yeah, Bryce Young is just late on all of his throws. He's late on all of his reads. He's predetermining things that aren't even going to be there just on a pre-snap coverage, where Andy Dalton is going three-step drop and a hitch, second hitch, check down. Like, there's a method to playing quarterback in a West Coast scheme that when you look at Bryce Young's feet when he's dropping back, he's not ready to throw at any point in time until it's too late. Like, very rarely is he actually anticipating things. He's so nonchalant in his drop back. Just put them side by side. I'm going to actually probably go back after this and look at the film of Andy Dalton's three-step drop versus Bryce Young's three-step drop on similar concepts and just show the timing of it. Like, if you don't play within good timing of the system, then guys aren't getting as much yak. And over the course of 20 completions, if there's less yak, that's less first downs over the course of a season. And it's just like these compounding things that add up when you're not playing quarterback the way it's intended to be in an NFL system.
All right. Well, let's move Hopefully on to some good quarterback play. I like that.
Yeah.
We got Commanders at the Cardinals. Cardinals favored by 3.5. A fun little quarterback matchup here. You talked Jaden Daniels this week in your film breakdown. Talk to me about what led to his big week this last week and what we can expect coming up.
Yeah, well, Jaden Daniels, man, last week, obviously, so he's the number two quarterback in fantasy right now. We called it. But anyways, he was efficient with the ball, man, and he was so good on third downs. He also was really good on second downs if they got backed up or whatever. He got them into third and manageable. He was not trying to get the first down on every single play. He knew that if he got them into third and short or fourth and short, they were going to convert. Like, they converted so high that game. And that's how he played the game. He was not looking for the big play. He let the big plays happen. He was efficient, obviously 21 for 23. Like, that's insane. Like, what, one of the highest completion percentages of all time. Highest completion percentage for a Washington Commanders quarterback or Redskins quarterback. But he took care of the football, and then he did what he needed to with his legs, dude. He 12 rushes, 39 yards, and a touchdown. He managed situational football like a 12-year vet. And it wasn't even his freak athleticism that got them any crazy big plays, which was exciting. It was that moved the chains, 5 yards a pop, 6 yards a pop. Like, he didn't have any of his crazy long runs, but he's so, like, that offense was so efficient and they took care of the football. They just, the Bengals defense never had a chance to tee off. And that's kind of what you saw in that game.
All right. Last game of the week we're going to talk about here, Seattle at Detroit, a fun uniform matchup. I don't know if you saw the Seattle all whites, the Detroit all blacks, prime time. It's going to be fun.
This is feeling of like early game of the year type vibes. Also, I know that the Seahawks have had the Lions number the past few years. I think this is the night that it all comes crashing down and the Lions potentially whoop their ass. I saw Gibbs in that jersey and I just can't help but think that the Lions are going to win by 14. And I think the Seahawks, they may be 3-0, but their 3-0 is the least impressive 3-0 of any team in the league this year. And I don't see how after the Giants, they don't rail off a good chunk of losses. I just don't think that they're actually one of the better teams. You look at their schedule, they beat the Broncos rookie quarterback first week. Broncos offense was terrible. They beat them 26-20. They beat the Patriots, who also suck, 23-20. And then they beat the Dolphins with no quarterback 24-3. And the Dolphins defense is not good. Like, I think this is the week that, and again, I know that the Lions are favored and everything. They should be. I think Jared Goff has not played good football at all this year, and the Lions are still winning games. And eventually Jared Goff is not going to play complete dog shit football. And I think that happens on Monday night in Detroit in all blacks. And we're going to be having a Jared Goff game, a good Jared Goff game. So, and give me David Montgomery to just keep being the bell cow, toting the rock, number 9 fantasy running back right now. I drafted him so late. People hated on it, but what about Gibbs? What about DeMont? That's what I have to say. It's going to be a DeMont game. Give me a Monra to do his weird touchdown celebrations, and this game is going to go to the Lions. And that's about all I have to say about this game, because it's going to be Monday night football.
And it actually kind of proves to be a good thing, because the other Monday night game, Dolphins at Titans, is kind of a stinker. How do you feel about these Monday night doubleheaders? Last week, it, again, proved to be beneficial because that Bills-Jaguars game was over in 15 minutes.
You know, I don't love Monday night doubleheaders, but I do. At the same time, I like action because I like gambling. So I like when there's multiple games on. It's fun. I also think that Monday night could be one of the craziest nights in the season for an amazing game and an absolute Will Levis weird game. Like, Will Levis, say what you want, is a roller coaster ride that I think everybody needs to watch. It's like one of those old wooden roller coasters that kind of sketchy, might fall apart, but has some cool, crazy turns to it that kind of look flashy. Will Levis is a wooden roller coaster that's just waiting to fall apart. And the Titans, I wouldn't be shocked to see them bench Will Levis after this week. If he plays how he's been playing and they lose to the Dolphins, Will Levis, the experiment is over, because you cannot fix bad decision-making in haywire situations overnight. And he's the reason why they're losing games right now, which is pretty wild. Like, they got waxed by the Packers last week, but the games before that, Will Levis did his thing in a bad way. And if you just, again, look at the Andy Dalton thing, man. Andy Dalton doesn't do that stuff, and the Panthers won the game. Just, if you just don't do stupid shit most of the time in the NFL, you at least have a chance. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be like a superhero. Just stop sipping mayonnaise through a straw pregame, and maybe you'll not throw the ball to the other team or fumble it backwards or do weird shit that Brandon Perna makes fun of all the time.
That's good advice. I do love that every week we're now chasing the craziest Will Levis screenshot, and he's been delivering the last 3 weeks. All right, let's transition to some fantasy questions here. The first one regarding Sam Darnold, your boy. Should we be picking up Sam Darnold in fantasy, and should we go a step further and start starting Sam Darnold on our fantasy teams?
You should be picking up Sam Darnold in fantasy. He's QB number 4, by the way. He's playing really well, and he has Justin Jefferson. You should not start him this week against the Packers. Packers, home game, Lambeau. Feels like a little bit of a trap game. So, again, Vikings have been winning, but how they've been winning has been at the heels of their defense that is unfamiliar to some of these other teams that they've been playing, where Jordan Love, who is expected to play this week, is very familiar with Flores' defense and diced them the fuck up last year in game 2. He got a little bit whatever game 1, but figured it out by game 2. This game's going to come down to, does Jordan Love hit those throws, like the dagger throws, the ones that are down the middle when they late rotate? Like, does he hit those that are lower percentage this time? Because last time he hit every single one of them, and it was pretty crazy. But I also think that LaFleur is going to have a plan for this. So this just feels like, okay, you guys want to do your weird, funky shit? We're going to run Josh Jacobs right down your fucking throat. And then you're going to have to play up in the box, and then we're going to take our shots down the field. So you can clip that, and I think that's how this game's going to go. And I think that the Packers are going to force the Vikings to play a different style of football on defense that they really haven't been having to play this year.
All right, next question. We pinned it earlier. Garrett Wilson has a tough matchup this week against PS2. So should this user be looking to start Scary Terry instead now that he's rolling? Maybe touch on your outlook on Garrett Wilson here, yeah, and then your outlook on Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I would go to Scary Terry. I think Scary Terry is going to see a good uptick in the easy completion category. I think they're going to get some schemed up freebies for him this next week. I also think that game script wise, the Denver defense is kind of like not a great team to play against when you're on offense and need fantasy points. They typically do a good job. P2, Patrick Surtain, he's a problem. He's probably the best cornerback in the league, if not one of them, obviously. And Garrett Wilson hasn't been so hot. He has not been playing to his potential. And I think that he's going to have a better game this week, but I don't think it's smart to go Garrett Wilson until later in the year when he's cooking.
All right. Next question. Aaron Jones making his return to Lambeau Field or Drake London in their flex?
I think you go Aaron Jones. I think you go volume here. You go for the volume play at running back. I think Drake London, weird matchup against the Saints. I think that he's going to get a lot of attention now. I think Aaron Jones just on the pure volume play. I like running backs earlier in the year, man, especially when you're just trying to stack wins. Maybe you don't need 150-point fantasy performance across the board on your team. I like those 10 to 15 to 20 point performances by running backs that you can almost count on.
Yeah, I like that. All right, next question here. I like this one. Justin Fields or Anthony Richardson? The fact that we're even having this discussion where at the beginning of the year, I think Richardson was, what, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth QB off the board, and now we're putting up against Justin Fields. What do you think?
I'd hate to say. You know me. I'd hate to say I told him so. It's Justin Fields. Give me the guy that has over a 50% completion percentage. Give me the guy that routinely hits receivers that are open. Give me the guy who, in my opinion, has the higher ceiling as a runner at quarterback. Justin Fields. Justin Fields is who Colts fans wanted Anthony Richardson to be, but are too afraid to admit it. With a little bit stronger arm Anthony has. Justin Fields, if Anthony Richardson could ever get to the point of the passer that Justin Fields is, he could have sustained success. There's a long, long road to get to that point with what we're seeing week in and week out. And you just cannot, not to mention, let's just talk about the fucking defensive matchups. You think Anthony Richardson has struggled already. What do you think he's going to do when TJ Watt is staring down his fucking throat? Like, TJ Watt is going to have a field day. And Fields is going to have a field day too. This game is one of those games I'm looking at it. I'm like Steelers -2 or Steelers -120, whatever it is. Give me the Steelers, dude. I know I was like down on the Steelers this year. Most of that, like we said in preseason, was because we were under the assumption that they were going to force Russell Wilson to start. And I said, as soon as they decide to go to Justin Fields, I'm back on the bandwagon. Thank God they got back on the bandwagon week one with him, because I love them. I love how they're playing football. They're playing football in a way that teams have a tough time matching up against. And I don't think that Anthony Richardson fixes his passing woes this week against that defense.
All right, I like the last question here. You have to pick two: J.K. Dobbins, Zach Moss, and Tony Pollard.
Give me Dobbins and Pollard. Give me Dobbins and Pollard. I think Pollard's going to have a bounce back week. Game script got away from them last week. They're going to be running the ball this week. That they are not going to lose this game by giving the ball to Will Levis and making him make decisions downfield. They're going to try to get the ball to their running backs. And J.K. Dobbins, man, ride it while it's hot. Pause.
All right, let's close out the episode, Kurt, by helping the people make some money. We'll pull up our sleeper picks and we'll get rolling.
All righty, let's see what we got here. So I'm looking across the board. You know where we're starting with, guys. We're gonna build a little receptions play here. Now we got to get out of this Thursday action. So Deontay Johnson, 5.5 receptions is his line right now against Cincinnati. Last week he had 8. Andy Dalton came back. And now we have Adam Thielen out. We can go 4 receptions or we can go 5. Give me 5 receptions for 1.47. I think that's a lock. Now we have Pickens. Pickens' line set at 3.5 receptions. Pickens had 5 last week. They're playing Indy. Give me Pickens' receptions. Give him at 3. 3 is pretty much a mortal lock. I know he only had 2 against Denver. Give me 3. That's 1.15. Just build a little bit more juice on there. And then let's keep going down. Oh, Shakir. Shakir has been a moneymaker. He's had 5 and 6 the last few weeks. They're playing against Baltimore. Baltimore's not going to let them just run the ball up and down the field. Give me Shakir, 3.5 receptions. I need to upload some money into my account. One second. I already have some plays out this week. Please hold. And we're back. So looking at this, $25 would pay out $63. And I think this is the mortal lock of the week. Absolutely love this. These are my favorite types of plays. Bam. But that's what I like this week, boys. I'm not going to build a whole bunch of entries. I really, really like that. Also, if you guys are trying to get in the action, first time ever, you can use code KURT to get a first-time deposit match of up to $100. If you guys keep gassing it, maybe we'll be able to squeeze Sleeper out for some more redeposit matches. But we gotta get active. But I like these. Tease these lines down. Be safe. Have fun. And I hope they hit. Bingo. And that's the end of the episode. I'm excited for this week, guys. I got a lot of things that I think this is the week that we actually like turn the corner on some of these 50-50 prediction weeks and start getting a beat on these teams. Like, I feel like we've been feeling it out for a few weeks. Some of these teams are frauds. Some of them we thought were them and they're not. I don't know, man. I'm excited for another weekend of action and go Pack, go. I'm excited. I want the Packers to win this week. I know I'm not like a Packers fan, but
yeah,
I'm pulling for them this week.
Yeah. I'll be there. I'll be rooting in person.
Let's go, dude. Take some pictures.
Of course.
Let's go. Yeah. Pocket Presents live feed from Lambeau.
Live game. Yeah, and I'll tell you, if the games go south, there will be no pictures.
Okay. All righty. Well, we'll see you guys on the next episode, and we got more film breakdowns on the way later in the week, next week. Let's ride.